Well, I'm grateful that my life was saved. With that, I feel I have a responsibility to be the voice for all those people who did not survive. And I feel like I am a witness of history. And I, when I tell my story, people who have heard me will all become witnesses. So I think I'm grateful that I'm able to do this, and I'm committed to do it as long as I can.
Stay connected to gratitude. Hit the follow button right now and join thousands of listeners tuning in each week. We're the Gratitude Seekers. Come join us. Hi, Gratitude Seeker. Welcome to a new episode of the Gratitude Podcast. Our guest today is a clinical social worker who has spent over 40 years speaking with thousands to raise awareness about the dangers of prejudice. It's been 8 decades since the Holocaust, and not all of the survivors are still alive to tell the tale. Our guest from today is one of them. Janet Singer Applefield, welcome to the Gratitude Podcast.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure, and I'm really looking forward to our conversation. So I wanted to keep this brief, but do feel free to let our audience know more about you, about your story.
So I speak to over 4,000 students and adults. I speak at schools, at libraries, at corporations. I've even spoken to the Massachusetts state legislature, and they passed the genocide education bill after my speech. And now it is mandated in Massachusetts to teach this subject in middle schools and high schools. A rare collection of photographs, which is very rare for survivors to have that, and I know that I make an impact on students, because often students come up to me and tell me, tell me that they feel braver, and they ask me difficult questions that they're dealing with. So I feel like I make connection with students.
That's amazing. It's a wonderful gift that you have, and it's wonderful that you are such an amazing example of a human being that has a purpose and keeps going no matter what. And I'm guessing that this comes from the beginning of your story, isn't it?
Well, are you asking about gratitude?
Well, gratitude as well, but I'm thinking about how your life started, basically, and how challenging it was in the beginning.
Oh, yes. So my book is interesting from the standpoint of the fact that it is told from a vantage point of a child. So I had a very wonderful early childhood. With lots of family around me, with lots of love, with wonderful traditions, but that everything changed very abruptly. September 1st, 1939, when Germany attacked Poland, and life was never the same after that.
I can imagine. So how was it for you to go from having that happy childhood to having everything change in a second?
Well, it was difficult, because I didn't really understand what was going on. I knew that something very difficult or dangerous was happening, because my family was distraught. My grandmother, my mother, people were crying and whispering because they didn't want me to know. So I knew something terrible was going on. And we made several attempts at escaping. And of course, nothing was successful. And when my parents realized that they had run out of all options, they made a harrowing decision. They decided to give me away. And prior to that, I lost my little baby sister when we first escaped to Russia. And then, of course, my parents made this decision to give me away. I can't even imagine what that must have been like. And for the next 3.5 years, I was passed from stranger to stranger. And I was away from my family. I was really dealing with my own survival because I had to keep secret. I had to keep a secret that I was Jewish. I always knew that, but, and yet I knew that it was so important for me to keep it a secret. I also was very good at adapting at new situations, and I had different caregivers. Some were good to me and some were abusive. So life was very difficult during those years when I was away from my family.
I can imagine. But I'm sure that in looking back, there are also some people that really made an impact on you and that you're really grateful for. Are there some people that come to mind that you want to mention and why you're grateful for them?
Well, I think every caregiver had a purpose. And at one point I was left abandoned on the street and some kind woman came up to me and very quickly put me under her cape and, said, "What's wrong? Why are you crying?" And I explained that the person that was taking care of me was gone. I had been left in a church, and I was told to wait for her, but she never returned for me. And when I walked out of the church, the whole street was cordoned off, and I had heard people whispering and talking. And I heard that the Gestapo had come and they arrested everybody from that cafe. So here I was all by myself on the street. I was 7 years old. I was walking up and down the street crying, not knowing what to do. And suddenly a woman came up to me and very quickly put me under her cape and asked what was wrong. And I explained that my cousin, who was the person who was taking care of me, a cousin that I had never known before the war, and I said, "Could you excuse me?" I said, "Could you please take me to the bus? I was going to go back to my village." And the woman said, no, "You're too little." So she took me into the building, the same building where the cafe was, to an apartment by the name to a woman by the name of Alicia Goomp. Alicia asked me, "What's wrong? Why are you crying?" I had rehearsed a story to tell if I was ever captured. And I said that that I was the daughter of a Polish officer and that my parents were killed in a bombing raid. And I was living in Warsaw. Now I was alone. And she said I could stay there. But however, there were three reasons why I couldn't stay in that particular apartment. One was that there was an SS officer living in the building. Another reason was that Alicia's mother was very active in the Polish resistance, and she ran a hospital in her apartment. She had an apartment in the same building, and she had shortwave radios and ammunition. And the third reason was when the Gestapo made an arrest, they always returned for the second time. So they were afraid to leave me there. So the oldest son took me and we walked for several miles and we came to a farm that was owned and operated by the Catholic Church. So I remained on the farm. And that family, the Goom family, they were wonderful to me. They took care of me as if I were one of their own children. So I'm obviously very grateful to them because they did save my life.
Wow. That's an incredible story. And I'm sure that even though most of us didn't have to go through such an experience, it makes us become aware of how amazing people can be in our life. And I'm sure that we can all think of people that just came out of nowhere in our lives and made a difference and made it much better in some way, shape or form. So yeah, I absolutely love this story and how much of an impact such a gesture can make on a human being and on the world, basically, because now you, thanks to her, you lived to tell the story and many other people were inspired by it. And it's, yeah.
They didn't just save my life. They saved lives of future generations.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't even think about it, but yeah, that's so true. So many people have been impacted and can be impacted when someone is kind. And it's a wonderful reminder.
Exactly.
I love it. So I'm really curious on your take on gratitude. Like, if you have a definition or a message that you would like to share with us on gratitude.
I think that even the smallest act of kindness has an impact, has a ripple effect. And so it's so important for everyone to know that each and every one of us can make a difference in somebody else's life. And you know, they don't have to be huge gestures, just even small thing like being nice to someone or smiling or doing something small for someone, it makes a huge difference. And so I think my message would be the importance of remembering that we all have a power to make a change in other people's lives. Sometimes we feel helpless, like we can't, but I know we can. So I think that's important to remember.
Definitely, because from these kinds of acts we get to experience a lot of gratitude, isn't it? Like the fact that we get to offer this kind of kindness or receive this kind of kindness, when we think about it, we experience this wonderful gratitude that there was this person. Even as you mentioned, for a simple gesture, that person was there doing that, smiling or doing something like that, that really changed our mood, our day. And yeah, it can have a really big impact, even though we might not realize this. So, right. Yeah.
And it's also reciprocal. I mean, if you do something nice for someone, just doing that act makes you feel good about yourself.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it's something that we tend to forget sometimes, but it's such an important part of us being human and being nice to each other, being kind to each other. And of course, we live in a world where almost everywhere in the world there is peace, and we tend to forget some of the things, some of the challenges that come from the moment when you don't have to, when you don't have this experience of being in a place where there is peace, where there's actually war. So how was it for you? Did you realize what was going on? How was your perspective in those moments?
I did not have a concept of what war was. I just knew that there were some very bad people. And I was always afraid of uniforms, no matter what kind of uniform I saw, I was frightened. There was a couple of experiences that were very frightening for me. When I was staying with one of my caregivers, one time there was a sharp knock on the door. And when Maria, that was the woman's name, opened the door, there was an SS Nazi officer standing there. And he said, "I am searching to see if you're hiding any Jews." He barged into the apartment and he looked under all the furniture, turned some of the furniture over, and he came up to me, held up my braid, and he wanted to know who I was. And Maria said that I was her niece. She was taking care of me because her sister was sick. And he looked at me with his chilling blue eyes and he turned around and he left. And to this day, I remember what he looked like. He had blonde hair, blue eyes, you know, light complexion. He was wearing shiny black leather boots that came under up to his knees. I could hear the clicking of his heels as he went down the steps. So that was pretty frightening. And I knew that I had to hide my identity. During the whole period, during the war, I knew I had to keep this secret. I was very good at, I adapted well to new situations, and I was able to keep a secret. And I had many different identities because I changed, my name was changed. I took on an identity of a deceased Polish Catholic girl. So I had a new name, new identity. Also, I think my appearance had a lot to do with my survival because I was, I looked like a typical Aryan child that was blonde and I had, you know, fit that profile. So that really, I'm sure, helped in my survival.
Yeah. And I was thinking also about the experiences that my grandma shared with me regarding the war, the fact that, for instance, she had to hide in the attic when the German soldiers went in, so that they would think that there's no one home. And she managed to take care of my aunt and herself. My grandpa was sent actually at some point in the war, in one of the wars, I'm not sure which one, unfortunately. He was sent to Russia, and we had our own experiences with these wars. And I think it's very important that we talk about this so that it won't happen again, and that we will continue to appreciate the peace that we're experiencing, and just this fact that it could change quite easily. It's something that should make us, or could make us, more grateful of the fact that we have peace and that we are enjoying peace. And for me personally, since war is quite close to my country right now, it's even more real, because it's not just something that happened quite a few decades ago, but it's something that's actually happening as we speak.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I was in the first part of the war, my family escaped to Russia. So I was in that area, and that's when my baby sister died. And when the Russian war and the Ukrainian war started recently, it really triggered me, because I just couldn't get the image out of my mind that bombs were falling on my sister's grave. So it's been traumatic for me.
Wow. I didn't even think about this. And yeah, it's, we're more connected than we realize. And I think this is something that we can become more aware of. And even if we are further away from each other at times, we still have that connection. And the fact that we get to experience peace is something that we can be thankful every day, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. And I also wanted to find out more about how you were able to become or to keep being a grateful person, a person that wants to contribute rather than fall into a situation of being a victim of her circumstances. Americans spend an average of 90% of their time indoors and take about 20,000 breaths a day. According to the EPA, indoor air is 2 to 5 times more polluted than outdoor air, and in some cases up to 100 times more polluted. Data shows that air pollution is responsible for nearly 7 million premature deaths globally. We are fortunate enough to live outside the city with easy access to it and a green meadow view outside the window. The not so fortunate part is that when we open the windows, we can hear all the constant traffic close to us and the air quality isn't the best. Aside from that, our neighbors have a passion for using all kinds of fossil fuel motors to build or cut grass. I love doing breath work. I'm sure you do too. And it's in those moments when you breathe deeply that you become aware of the quality of the air you breathe and how important it actually is. So what's the solution? Introducing an air purifier that captured the attention of established media outlets such as CNN, Money, ABC, and more. Air Doctor. Air Doctor filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants and allergens such as pollen, pet dander, dust mite, mold, and even bacteria and viruses, so your lungs don't have to. All Air Doctor purifiers also feature whisper jet fans, 30% quieter than ordinary air purifiers. Air Doctor also comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code GRATITUDE, and depending on the model, you'll receive up to 39% off or up to $300 off. Exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code GRATITUDE.
Well, I'm grateful that my life was saved. And I feel I have a responsibility to be the voice for all those people who did not survive. And I feel like I am a witness of history. And I, when I tell my story, people who have heard me will all become witnesses. So I think I'm grateful that I'm able to do this, and I'm committed to do it as long as I can.
I can totally sense that, and it's something wonderful to keep this up, to keep this attitude of gratitude, and to show the gratitude in an actionable manner by choosing to be this generous with your time, with your energy, and by bringing awareness to us all. So thank you for doing that. I think it's amazing that you chose to do this and you keep on doing this.
Thank you.
So let us know a little bit more about your book. Of course, Becoming Janet makes a lot more sense for our listeners now, since you talked about all of the identities that you had to use so that you will actually survive. So let us know a little bit more about it.
Well, even the cover of my book tells the story of becoming. I don't know if you can see this. On the left side is a photo of me. I'm about 10 years old, and I'm still in Poland, and I'm wearing the traditional sheepskin coat. And then the other photo on the other side is a picture of me. I think it was my eighth grade graduation when I came to this country. So I think this my book is a little different from other Holocaust stories because it's told from the perspective of a child and the many identities that this little girl takes on. Also talks quite a bit about the dangerous period after the war, where anti-Semitism was so very severe, and we were threatened. There were notes posted on our door in our town. After I was reunited with my father, we moved back to our town and lived with three other survivors, but we were not safe there. There were notes posted on the door saying we would be murdered. A couple of my father's friends were murdered after the war. My father went to the police chief asking for protection, and the police chief said all he could do is to give my father a gun. So my father slept with a gun, and it became clear that it was too dangerous to remain there. So we left our little town and we moved to Krakow, which was a big city. There's so many different elements and twists and turns in the story. It reads almost like a novel rather than a memoir. One of the people that gave an endorsement for the book said he compared it to the best cinema, transporting us into new worlds and new understanding. I think it reads very well. It also has a study guide in the back of the book for book clubs or schools. I think it's a book that can be enjoyed by many different kinds of populations, young adults and adults also.
And what's one of the main messages that you want to get out with this book?
I would think that one of the messages would be to remember that you can make a difference in the world. Also, that you can have an effect on other people. You can help people to change. It's important to be kind and to be giving to other people, and to be brave, to be kind, to be brave, to be grateful. And never to give up.
That's amazing. It's a wonderful message, and I think the story itself is very powerful, and I'm sure that many of the listeners can identify in many ways with the challenges and the fact that when we think about our identity itself, the fact that we had to build all kinds of identities so that we will survive in our lives one way or another, we are doing this as well in different parts of our life, and this capacity to adapt and to choose to be kind, to be a good person, as we do so is something that that we all go through, actually, isn't it?
Very true. Yes, we're always adapting to new situations, to new experiences and new environments, and we have to be resilient. That's also a very important aspect of one's personality. It really helps to be resilient.
Yeah, and gratitude is, for me at least, it's one of the best ways of keeping myself resilient. Like when there are so many challenges in the world and in my personal life at times, it's really hard to be resilient if I don't have gratitude. Like if I don't see the good things that are happening, the good people that are around. And I think a big part of resilience is gratitude. But how do you see the resilience? Like how do you define it?
Well, being able to see the other side of the story, as you just mentioned, because there are always, life is not black and white, it's many shades of gray, and being able to adapt to new situations. Remembering that each and every one of us has power. You know, at times we all feel powerless, but if you remember that we do have power and we can make changes and we can adapt to new situations, and things are not black and white, things can change very rapidly. I think that helps with resilience.
Definitely. And I think that's a really powerful statement that we can wrap this interview with, that we have the power and we have the capacity to be resilient, to be able to cope with the changes. And I'm sure that your book will be a great inspiration for our listeners to do just that. So where can they find your book?
The book is available on Amazon and on Barnes & Noble and all the bookstores, even the independent bookstores. Also, it's an ebook, so it's on Kindle and Nook, and very soon it will be a Audible book. So it's available, and I hope people will choose to purchase it.
Wonderful.
I'm available to speak if anyone is interested in having me come to speak to their school or corporation or church or anywhere. I'm available.
Amazing. So Becoming Janet, Finding Myself in the Holocaust. Janet, well, thank you so much for being here with us, for sharing your wisdom, your incredible purpose, and your resilience with us on this podcast. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure.
Hey, Gratitude Seeker, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this interview. I really appreciate it. And if you could think of one person that would also benefit from it, share it with them. It might actually be the inspiration that they need to make their day or maybe even their life much better. Thank you so much once again. This has been Georgian Benta. Don't forget to keep seeking and spreading gratitude.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make high-quality clothing for a summer wardrobe you'll love, all made right here in the USA. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.